What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
This is a WEEI special broadcast. It's day one of the 23rd annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by Arbella Insurance. Here for the Jimmy Fund, here for good.
Now, live from Fenway Park,
it's Jones and Keith.
Welcome in. Day one of the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon rolls on. It is our 23rd year. Already over $300,000 raised to this point, Keith.
Wow, and we haven't even started.
We haven't even started yet, so we're going to get that number going up. There are lots and lots of ways to contribute. You can call toll-free at any point, 877-738-1234. You can donate online at jimmyfund.org, and you can also text to give any amount. Text KCANCER to 56512, again, to give any amount. Our support is presented by Arbella Insurance, and we're trying to strike out cancer. Every gift, no matter the size, makes a difference in the lives of adults and children being treated at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And this is important. I heard Greg talking about this a lot today. 87 cents of every dollar raised goes to patient care, research for children and adults at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. You're going to hear a lot of those stories today, how that money can be best utilized. And we're going to start with Jason Martin and Dr. Matt Yergelin joining us here on day one. Guys, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks for having us.
Matt, what can you tell us about your story and why you're here today?
Matt,
I'm sorry, Jason, what can you tell us about your story and why you're here today?
So I was in 2020 diagnosed with colon cancer and had surgery. And then about 6 months later was diagnosed again with rectal cancer. So I have a long family history of cancer, specifically colorectal cancer, and decided to get my genetic testing and found out that I tested positive for Lynch syndrome. So luckily I found out that there was a Lynch Center up at Dana-Farber, which as I understand there aren't many in the country. So I talked with a surgeon up here, Dr. Goldberg, who referred me to Dr. Yergelin, and that's how we met. And Dr. Yergelin's basically been guiding me ever since. So I had surgery up here in 2021.
What was, in 2020, were there issues at that time? I'm trying to think about getting in, getting out, and being seen. Could your family go with you? Like, take us through all of that.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. It's hard to remember that there were restrictions as far as getting in and out of the hospital, checkpoints, and it was all much different. And then I think 2021, we were still pretty, there were still a lot of safety precautions up here at Dana-Farber.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah.
And then how was it, you know, telling your kids, talking about it with your wife, all that whole communication, how'd that go?
Yeah, well, my wife, who's actually here today, she's so strong. She's an RN, and I basically looked to her for a lot of advice and for the strength. She's been was the backbone of the family through this whole process. It was tough in how I approached talking to my children because they're 15 and 13 now, but I can't do the math of what they were back
then.
So
what, that would have been 10 and 8? No, that can't be right.
We're close.
Nothing no, around that. We're not ballpark. But young. Yeah. I mean, they were, you know, probably young, second, third, fourth grade, somewhere in there.
Yeah. So I went to the older one first, and I was trying to say it in a way where it's like, you know, everything's going to be okay, because they had gone through the first one. The second one I was actually a lot more concerned about because of where it was and the danger. They both seemed to handle it pretty well. They didn't show their cards much, but I know that it bothered them. So,
Matt, for real this time, not Jason. how common is Lynch syndrome, and what should we know about that? Because it's something I personally didn't know much about until reading Jason's story.
So Lynch syndrome is a pretty common inherited syndrome. We think it accounts for maybe about 1 in 300 people in the United States. It raises the risk for a wide variety of cancers, colon and rectal cancer, uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, stomach cancer, and the list goes on. And these are often diagnoses that occur early in life when people are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, before they would usually be getting regular screening for this. And so when we do genetic testing, find a diagnosis of Lynch syndrome, first of all, we can get that person in for early screening. The screening works. It's quite effective. But we can also get their family members in for their own genetic testing, figure out who else needs early screening. And the power of prevention really is pretty tremendous by knowing that there's a diagnosis of Lynch syndrome.
Now, you're a personal trainer. Is that true? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is there anything you can help Jones and I out with? Something easy, maybe, that we can kind of, you know, don't, you know, throw us into the deep end right away, but yeah, I could use all the help I could get.
Sure.
And what do we need?
We're going to need some time.
Push-ups, pull-ups.
How many hours do you have?
I have no time. I don't sleep. I need to do all that. But how are things going now? How are things going for you today?
They're going well. Yeah, I'm still training. I own my own business, and it's called Little Engine. It's down in Providence, Rhode Island, and pretty busy, and I love doing it. It's my favorite thing. Coming back to it was very difficult because I had a couple of complications from surgery where I had a tube that was draining blood through a certain area of my body, and I couldn't really stand. We were still kind of locked down, but luckily I have amazing clients who would do Zoom sessions with me because we already were doing them during the lockdown in 2020. Right. So they had their equipment, whether they're at a home gym or a public gym, they kind of knew the deal, and I just guided them through. So that was really great for me to, you know, keep my business alive. And then just as time went on, getting stronger and stronger, because I lost about 40 or so pounds after surgery and took a long time to get everything back. So,
but today you are cancer-free.
Yes.
And you will be, which is excellent news. With Lynch syndrome, though, you do you remain at a higher risk, right? Mm-hmm. So you continue to do screening, is that right?
Yep. I do CT scans every 6 months and a full blood panel every 6 months.
And so this is something that the money raised for this can help contribute to, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a whole lot that we're learning about. How do we identify Lynch syndrome earlier? What can we do with prevention? Right now, a lot of the prevention is screening and early detection. There's research going on right now about, can you use the immune system to treat these cancers more effectively or even to prevent cancers through things like Lynch syndrome vaccines? You know, so I think the money raised through the telethon here really spurs that research forward.
I feel like, you know, we talk about it a lot, and we're going to talk about it today, is just if you think something's wrong, go to your doctor, mm-hmm. right? Like, so many times there are stories of people that didn't or said, this will go away, and it doesn't. And, right. you know, thankfully you did when you did.
Right. And I have to say that the vaccine subject is very interesting to me because my children have a 50% chance of having Lynch syndrome. So this vaccine has been developed for several years now. We've been corresponding, and I'm excited to see where it goes because it could be very effective if one of them end up having.
So again, lots of reasons to give, but that's a direct reason. You hear it right there. Toll free at 877-738-1234. You can also text any amount to text KCANCER 56512. Now, you mentioned your boys. I'm not sure which of the two. Mm-hmm. You said one is pretty into fishing these days?
Yeah. Yep.
And that's down in Rhode Island?
Yep.
So yes. What do you got? What are you fishing for? I'm not much of a fisherman. What are we fishing for? Well, stripers, blues.
He caught a sea robin yesterday, but he was trying to get stripers more towards the spring, probably when coming around October again, September, October. But right now, also fluke. So he's trying to get.
Is that something he got for you?
Season.
Is that something you're into as well, or is that more? It's more of him. Oh, interesting.
No, but yeah. Now he's got me into it.
Okay,
he's teaching me, so it's kind of a nice little father son thing we've been doing.
That's good.
Yeah. Good way to bond.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, Dr. Yergelin, are there things people can do to help prevent cancer? What steps can they take to do that?
So a lot of it's basic common sense. You know your family history and look into whether or not you need earlier screening or genetic testing based off that family history. Eat right, maintain a healthy body weight, exercise, move the body, you know, don't smoke, limit alcohol, things that we all know are healthy for us. Sometimes we're not good at doing those things, but they all make a big difference. And as you mentioned before, listen to symptoms. If there's something wrong with your body, you know, don't just chalk it off to, you know, I'm too young to have colon cancer, I'm too young to have this problem, look into it.
Okay. Jason Martin, thank you for coming out.
Thanks so much.
Congratulations on the most recent
update.
Dr. Yergelin as well, thank you. We appreciate you guys coming by, telling your story, and inspiring a lot of people out there to give. That's the big goal here today. Again, toll-free at 877-738-1234. We're at $316,000. You can also text any amount to give, KCANCER 56512. Thank you guys again for stopping by. We're going to be joined here momentarily by Dan Shaughnessy. It is a good reminder, though, and I know Greg had the announcement this morning. You can double your impact for Dana-Farber patients by donating to the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance before the end of tonight's game. If we raise $1 million, Keith,
yep,
and the million needs to be raised.
We are a third of the way there.
To unlock a second $1 million from Rob and Karen Hale, visit jimmyfund.org or again, 877-738-1234 right now to donate. But that is just a tremendously generous thing. I know we've already had $100,000 contributed to that from a World War II veteran.
Yeah,
I heard
amazing.
That on Greg's show today, which
yep.
is amazing. So a lot of great ways to give, and that's a great reason to do it before the end of the Red Sox game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it tomorrow. You can't do it even after the game ends. You have to do it by then. So that's a reason to get in and be active right now.
Is Chapman available tonight? That'd be my question.
Probably a good question for Dan Shaughnessy.
Oh, look who it is.
He's joining us here. Now, Dan, we were talking about when I saw you downstairs when I first got here. My first full-time-ish gig, I guess.
That was a Saturday show.
Once a week, though. You know what I mean? It was the first consistent gig.
Yeah, okay.
First consistent
right.
gig, not full-time.
Full-time seems like
first
a stretch.
First full-time gig was with Keith.
Yeah. I broke you in.
You did. You did indeed. That's true. And so that was the first real consistent show I did was the Dan Shaughnessy show.
Hosted by Adam Jones.
Yeah, that wasn't mentioned anywhere.
Not in the title.
I'll have to yell at Mike about that. but good to have you on the show, Dan. Thanks for coming in.
Good to be with both of you guys. I sort of worked with Keith in the early days
Absolutely.
As well with the Kiefer Madness.
That's right.
One of the stronger segments.
Dan did not care for it, and that clip lives on forever.
That was also one of the first things he said
that
to me.
Helped. I think that actually helped the segment.
It did?
Knowing how much Dan didn't like it.
I had to fire you up a little bit.
That's true.
I want your best work.
That is true. So those things I knew. Something I didn't realize, Dan, is that your daughter years ago was a patient at the Jimmy Fund. So you remain involved. You're part of the coverage today at Nessun. And so, I don't know. I guess that's where your involvement began?
Absolutely. This is the only way you're going to get me on Nessun and EEI, two places I hate. So here we are. But no, it's no, that true fact. I mean, it was remarkable this morning on Nessun with Dale, because the family, you guys just talked to a patient, and it's great work that everybody's doing here, and I appreciate that. So when I was on with Dale this morning, the family had a three-and-a-half-year-old daughter who's afflicted with the same thing that our daughter had 32 years ago. Young Kate Shaughnessy was 8 years old, acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and today is 40 years old, has three little boys, coaches and teachers at Newton North, and we're so blessed. And I always, as everybody, you guys are around here enough, you know, this is a New England mission. It's a Red Sox Jimmy Fund thing, and it's 72 years old, and there's nothing like it in all of American sports/charity alignments, and that's why this is the best 2 days of the year for everybody around here. And growing up around here, I grew up with the Jimmy Fund boxes and the whole bit.
And I think those are still in existence, I believe.
They are.
Yeah.
In Groton, Massachusetts, they were at the ballpark and everywhere. And as little kids, we were aware of it. And in the 90s, Jimmy came forward. He was a truck driver from New Sweden, Maine. And everybody thought the young child had died in the 50s when the Boston Braves kind of went to his hospital bedside, and there was this national radio program, and the Jimmy Fund was born. And then when the Braves left town in the 50s, the Red Sox picked up the charity, and that was that. So I discovered Jimmy and put the story in the Globe and had all that. And then our daughter was afflicted, and it was these families go through hell. It's in our case, it was 2 years of treatment for Kate, but we have a happy ending. And what we want to get to is 100% happy endings and less and less side effects that these kids go through. But the support system of the Jimmy Fund, I mean, I'm talking downstairs when Adam came by with Lisa. I know when she was Lisa Graceffa. She wasn't even married yet. Now her kids are out of college.
Yeah.
And the continual care over there. There's a woman named Phyllis used to draw Kate's blood in 1993. She's still over there.
Wow.
Phyllis Booker. And really, it's a family over there. The support they give these families, because it affects everything in your lives. And of course, the nurses and the support system that you get is unparalleled. So you say the Jimmy Fund, we all come running, and that includes me with you guys here today.
And you've seen this thing evolve, too. I mean, this is, what, year 23 of this, the radio telethon, but just the amount of people that are involved, the amount of money that has been raised, I mean, it truly is unlike anything else.
It's fantastic. And the Red Sox connection, going back to Ted Williams, our daughter Cade got to know Ted Williams because he would find you. He didn't know me. I was a writer. He hated that.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was not a fan of you.
No, that was a plus.
He called the hospital to find this little kid.
Wow.
And tell her how unfair this was, that he knew Dr. Farber, and he always told me, we're going to cure those kids, Ted. And he said, I'm going to come up and watch you play ball, and you tell me if you want to hit in lessons or anything. And he had a real sense of the unfairness of it. Mm-hmm. And then you'd go over there and, yeah, you'd see the Robert Kraft Blood Donor Center and the Carl Yastrzemski Treatment Room, and Jim Lonborg's wife is working in the clinic, and it was just wall to wall. And the Sox, Roger Clemens gets a lot of grief around this town, too much in my view. He still is loyal to the Jimmy Fund, and when he pitched here, he would go down in his uniform, full uniform, and be with those kids. And you can go up through and just, you know, Mike Andrews was director of the Jimmy Fund, Red Sox second baseman. Of course, Ken Coleman, Red Sox broadcaster, director of the Jimmy Fund. Brock Holt today, director of Jimmy Fund. And you know, Mike Andrews all those years. And I just remember John Valentin was a star player here, and she always wore number 13 because John Valentin was nice to her. And to this day, you know, they take those trips down to the spring training, and they'd go to Wrigley Field. Lisa's taking these kids everywhere, and it's nice to see the teenagers, and it's an important thing for them to have each other and to have kindred spirits. And those kids, if you're in that hospital and those kids are hooked up to the machinery, when these players come into the room, you see those monitors start jumping. The hearts are going because it's a big thrill for them. And I've seen great athletes be a big part of this, and it's really, we're all lucky to have it.
You mentioned the Red Sox and their involvement, which, you know, goes back a long, long way. I think in 67 they gave World Series shares to the Jimmy Fund. Baseball team on the field. How are you feeling about the team right now?
I picked them to finish first, and they still got a shot. You know, I don't know what was going on those first 3 months. That was ugly and really bad. So, but right now, when you look at it, I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs. I also thought the Red Sox were in 2011 were going to be in the playoffs. As the famous Heidi Watney interview. Oh, Heidi, don't worry about that thing. They're in. Don't worry about it. But, so, I mean, you look at it now, Cleveland would have to catch somebody, and they're, I just don't see that. So, to my view, there's 37 games left. They're in the playoffs. They're the team we hoped they'd be. And there's some holes, no question, and the bullpen caught up with them over the weekend, and I understand that, but schedule's a little bit lighter. A lot of division games. You got to take care of the Orioles, take care of business. Those four in New York should be good. They're only a half game separated there. And I think Anthony has really changed the dynamic on the team. And Story being so good, he wasn't that player here for 3 years. So that's a game changer. I really find him entertaining. I mean, they're sort of must-see TV. They can be must-see TV and can't-see TV on the same weekend. You can't get the games. But there's a lot. There's a lot. They're a good watch.
They have enough in the rotation and in the bullpen in your mind? Should they have done something more?
Yeah, I wish they had done more. And I caught up with them yesterday. Yeah. Matts gave it up. And he's been okay until then. And, you know, May had a good start. His second one was better than his first. They didn't do enough at the deadline. I would have liked to have seen more. And the bullpen, they're really relying on two guys. Yeah. The back two, the eighth inning guy, the ninth inning guy. Chapman's better than I've ever seen him. I mean, he wasn't – when he was with the Yanks – Red Sox abused him.
He's a roller coaster.
You know, he couldn't throw strikes. No. Now he's a machine. He's all 23 out of 25, and the Philly one was a little sketchy, but he's been nails. So, yeah. And I understand not pitching him yesterday. They make that decision before the game.
So I was just going to ask. So that decision was made before the game. I heard Chris and Greg talking about that this morning. You know, you think that's it goes above Cora?
Yeah. It's organization-wide, and don't forget, I know he pitched three straight earlier in the season, but he also came out with a back injury 10 days ago or something, came out of a game. They want him in 5 weeks from now, they want that guy. The guy's been nails all year. And so to decide before the game and then not retract on that, I'm okay with it. And don't tell me about he only threw three pitches, whatever it was on Saturday. When they get up, that's a day of work, and it's more than – you know what goes into that. It's not four pitches. It's a whole day.
You know, the last time I saw you was actually during the Celtic City documentary. You were in that quite a bit. How did that all come together? How much footage did you have? I feel like you were all over that thing.
That thing was sensational. They did a great job. I did three sessions. They were all like 2 or 3 hours. They came to my house twice. You know, Bob Ryan, Lee Montville, So it was I learned a lot. There were things, there was a thing about Red taking Boston off the jerseys on the road and just Celtics. So then I found pictures where they're playing the Lakers in the finals and some guys have Boston, some guys have Celtics in the same game.
Really?
In the same game, but you don't even kind of notice.
That's funny.
It was, I thought 9 parts, it seemed like a lot, but I'm going to watch it again. It was really appointment TV
for me and
learned a lot. And that's a franchise, just so much history that we're lucky to have it. They kind of get less abused than the other franchises, I guess, maybe because of that.
Okay. Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe. Great to see you. Thanks for coming in. Excellent coverage.
Nice
on
to
the
see
Nest
my young
well.
Man doing so well all these years later. I taught you everything you know about radio. It's showing you guys are doing great. Way to go.
Thanks, Dan.
That is very much true. Dan Shaughnessy, thank you so much. I do want to remind people, you can sign up as a monthly donor today, and you'll be entered to win an exclusive Fenway Park tour, including behind-the-scenes look at the WEEI and Nesson Studios. The winner is going to be selected this week. You can also join Jimmy's team. The monthly giving program, your meaningful gift, will be charged on your credit card each month, and it's an easy way to support the work of Dana-Farber all year long. Your ways to give, again, 877-738-1234, online, jimmyfund.org, and you can text to give any amount, KCANCER, to 56512. We're going to get you a trending coming up here from Nick LaPan, and when we come back, we're going to check in with Heather from Maine, as day one of the Jimmy Fund Telethon rolls on here on WEEI.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We need your help. Dial 877-738-1234 to make a gift.
Now, back to Jones and Keefe in the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Jones and Keefe, WEEI, our day one total of the Jimmy Fund Nesson Radio Telethon is up to $338,000, $506,000. A reminder, Rob Hale has announced the matching challenge for today through the end of tonight's Red Sox game. To raise $1 million and unlock a second $1 million that Rob and Karen will match if it gets to that amount, which is incredible. So dial up 877-738-1234, jimmyfund.org online, or you can text to give any amount. Text KCANCER to 56512, again, to give any amount if that's easier.
You know, Jones, I think we have a first.
Yes.
In the years that I've been doing this, we have a first. Heather's joining us now, and we usually get like a little bio on who we're going to speak to.
Yep.
For the first time in the break, Heather said, I did some research on you.
She did say that.
I did some research
guys. She came with notes, too.
She has notes down. Yeah. She probably has questions for us, which I'm nervous about.
Yeah,
she was
too.
Like, yeah. She's like, you guys used to do a show together, then you didn't. Now you do again. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
How about this?
Yeah, seriously.
Pretty good. Welcome to the show, though, Heather. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you. And thank you and WEI and the Red Sox for doing this.
Well, thanks for coming on. Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Yeah. First of all, I'm here in support of, but I'm alive because of Dana-Farber. So 14 years ago, I came down with a very rare form of lung cancer for which there was, and there is still not yet, a cure. I went through quick early chemo that didn't work, sort of generic chemo, had two major lung surgeries, and I was cancer-free for about 8 years. At the beginning of my journey, my surgeon said, the longest anybody I know of has lasted with what you have was 7 years. So at year 8, after incredible care and check-ins with Dana-Farber, where it was clear that my oncologist and Dr. Yana, my current oncologist, were doing the basic research behind the kind of cancer I had, an EGFR, and in my case, EGFR exon 20, and we're translating that into treatments. So at year 8, one of those treatments was available, and I became a part of a clinical trial, and I was successful at keeping off cancer for 4 years in that trial, and now I'm in chemo. But I want to say that whole journey was fueled by funds from the government and funds from big and small donors that have made all of this set of discoveries and treatments that are enabling people like me to survive possible. Wow. So I'm a very grateful patient.
And I mean, this is why, you know, people like Heather are so great to have on, because I, you know, that we can't describe it any better than that. So the phone number again is 877-738-1234. You can text KCANCER to 56512 as well. Now, we're joined here as well by Dr. Passiani with Heather. And we were talking a little bit off the air while she was grilling us about our radio history. And you were saying that the money that goes to these clinical trials, and this is really a proof of concept of that, really.
Yes, absolutely. Heather participated in a clinical trial for her specific type of lung cancer. As she said, it's relatively uncommon. As a result of that participation, the trial was a success, and the drug has now received regulatory approval and is available for everybody. And that is the benefit of clinical trials through patients like Heather who participate in trials. New knowledge is gained, and that ultimately then allows new medicines, if they're approved, to be available for everyone, which is fantastic.
Now, Heather, how important is that relationship with the doctors, with the nurses, getting you not only the treatment that you need, but just everything that's all around it?
Incredibly important. I stepped back to when I was preparing for this and, you know, did a lot of thinking about it. And I, in my own career, studied how systems operate and how they support the organizations that provide services to human beings. My observation about Dana-Farber is that it is a place with incredibly knowledgeable and competent people who are also kind and compassionate. It's a place where I have Dr. Yana, who is doing basic research, translating into treatments, and also a clinician seeing me. And the kind of knowledge and kindness and compassion goes from my team, my oncology nurse, right down to the Ethiopians who park the cars. So as a system, Dana-Farber has a culture that supports the kinds of things I just described. It's incredible. I also want to mention one other thing. The last 5 years, I've been at Dana-Farber every 3 weeks for a day or two. That's over 100 times. I sit and I observe. The other thing I see is the incredible support of family and friends. You cannot be there without feeling and seeing that. And I have visions in my head. One of them is I'm getting on the elevator at the end of a long day at Dana-Farber. Walking down toward the elevator is a man with a little boy who's probably 8. And they're walking along separate. They get in the elevator, they turn to face out. Dad puts his arm on his kid's shoulder and pats it. The kid leans in, then they separate, and I have those kinds of images in my head of what does family and friends mean. It means that. So I get to witness that. And sometimes you get discouraged about what's happening in humankind. You come to Dana-Farber, you watch this, and you think, you know, we're all knit together. And every time I see things like that, Dad and the boy, I think, wow, I'm glad I'm here.
Well, and that's one of the things that just doing a handful of these now, and I haven't done as many as you, Keith. This is my third telethon. But, you know, you learn to, when we have especially pediatric patients on, they're treating the entire family, siblings, parents, you know, really they're all treated as, you know, members. And so it is a very special place. Dr. Yani, the advancements in some of the targeted therapies that are out there, are there new developments on the horizon that could help patients live longer?
Absolutely. Both in the targeted therapies, which many of them are oral medications like the clinical trial that Heather participated in, but there are new kinds of innovations in drugs that are also happening, antibodies that are linked to medicines, so the antibodies sort of specifically delivering the medicine to the tumor cells called antibody-drug conjugates, as well as advances in immune therapy where the goal is to reactivate the immune system to go after and fight the cancer. So there are lots of different things happening, and so it's an exciting time from the sort of research and clinical trial aspect of having new therapies and making sure that those therapies are coming to the clinic and are available to patients like Heather.
And so, Heather, how are you feeling today? What keeps you busy? What do you enjoy doing?
Well, I like one thing here. It says you refer to yourself as sort of interesting, quote unquote. I like that. So what is that?
Too much pressure on it. Yeah, that's good.
What does that mean?
I live part of my life in Mid-Coast Maine. I love to be outdoors, hiking, walking. That's one thing. I like to write. I like to make things. I like to occasionally cause trouble. good trouble.
I was going to say, what kind of trouble?
Good trouble. And, you know, I stay connected with friends and family. I, you know, volunteer for my local library. You know, there's not a day that I'm here that I'm not grateful that I'm here and having fun.
Okay, well, Keith said it right off the top. We've never been interviewed and had research done on our background here at the Jimmy Fund Telethon. So that is a first. Heather, Dr. Passiani, thank you for joining us here on day one of the Jimmy Fund Telethon and sharing your story.
And you guys are a delight. Thank you very much for doing this.
Yeah, well, it's again,
our honor, really. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, we're happy to do it, and people like you are a big reason that number continues to go up over on the board. You can call toll-free 877-738-1234 or online, jimmyfund.org. You can also text to give any amount, if that's the easiest way to do it. Text KCANCER to 56512. We're going to be back with Charlie Davies, former Revs striker and Revs radio analyst. That's next here on WEEI.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Fighting for those that inspire.
Please help WEEI and NESN strike out cancer. Please call 877-738-1234 to make a gift.
Now, back to Jones and Keith and the WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Year 23, WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance. Day one here today, Jones and Keith at Fenway Park. A reminder, you can sign up as a monthly donor today, and you will be entered to win an exclusive Fenway Park tour, including a behind-the-scenes look at the WEEI and NESN studios, Keith.
You know
those WEEI studios.
Yeah, get in there.
Are something to go check
right out.
Winner will be selected this week. You can join Jimmy's team, our monthly giving program, and a meaningful gift will be charged on your credit card each month. It's an easy way to support the work of Dana-Farber all year long. Call 877-738-1234. Or go to jimmyfund.org. You can sign up today. You can also text cancer to give any amount to 56512. We're joined now by Charlie Davies, former Rev striker and radio analyst, joining us here on day one. Charlie, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
You were just telling us off the air about your story and your experience with cancer. And you actually said in the past, I know this isn't your first time on even speaking with Rich, that you've heard from some people who have gone out and caught things early based on your story. So what can you tell us and why are you here today?
Yeah, for me, whenever Dana-Farber needs something, my hand's always raised. Dana-Farber, Boston Children's Hospital, even Brigham Women's, Mass General, anything in the healthcare sector, I know how important it is, not just for yourself, but just for our communities. So in my story in particular, I was a reps player. I was trying to get back on the U.S. men's national team. And for people who know my story, I went through a tragic car accident, and it took me a year and a half to get back. But I did. And it wasn't until I got to the New England Revolution where I finally understood my new body. I fractured my femur and my tib and fib in my right leg, you know, ruptured bladder, elbow fracture, but I had rods in my legs, and I was just off balance. And finally I figured it out. And so I'm moving forward. I was the team's leading goal scorer. And the next year, my wife's water broke around 25 weeks, literally a week before the season. And so, you know, you're like, wait, what's going on? And so now I'm in the hospital. They gave us the all clear. She was going to be on bed rest for the rest of her pregnancy. So I was able to fly to Houston. I scored in that first game of the season. So everything's going well. And then being in the NICU every day to support my wife, and you know, it just weighs on you, and you're not eating right, sleeping right, which eventually led to injuries. So I pulled the groin muscle in a game, got a scan, and you don't always get scans for muscle pulls, but I did for this one, and they found a tumor, which eventually led me to Dana-Farber. So I had a liposarcoma cancer. My kids were in the NICU for 92 days at Brigham and Women's. I had surgery, I think, on June 2nd. The boys get out on June 14th. The boys are happy and healthy. They're 9 years old. I coached them on their youth soccer team. And yeah, I've been the athlete who goes and visits children, whether it's at Dana-Farber Jimmy Fund, whether it's at the Boston Children's Hospital, and you're seeing how resilient these kids are and how special they are and how they're going through, and their families are going through incredible difficulties. And you're there to just brighten their day for a minute, for an hour, whatever it is, to make them forget about what they're going through every day. And here I am now on the flip side, and I was super worried. Now I'm that guy. And will I have a long, healthy life? Will I get to see my kids grow old? Will I get to be, you know, someone who can have a constant impact? And so I, you know, fear, scared. But here I am today, always looking to find positives in life, always looking to inspire people. And whether that's through soccer or just that's through life, having conversations, that's kind of how I live my day.
Have you and your wife ever had a chance to, like, catch your breath after all that happened? I mean, just one of those things is, like, an unbelievable life-changing experience that for all that to happen at once. Has there ever been a moment, or is just, like, since then you guys have been, like...
No, it's chaos. Go. Yeah, it's always chaos. Yeah. And I keep adding jobs. You know, I'm the club ambassador for the New England Revolution. Now let's go into the booth. So now I'm the broadcast analyst with my partner, Brad Feldman. And then you're saying, okay, let's do CBS. Let's do MLS. Let's do NBC Sports Boston. And now I'm a journalist. Like, who would have thought? I write for The Athletic and The New York Times. So life is full of surprises. And I think I'm a perfect example of live life to the fullest. Try different things. Be excited to live. Be excited to inspire. And if I can change the life of one person, I've done my job. And so that's how I look at it.
You mentioned you're coaching the 9-year-olds. How's it being on that side of things with probably, I imagine, parents yelling at you and parents yelling at refs? And like, how's the youth sports coaching experience going?
It's incredible. It's so fulfilling. You hear that parents are really the worst part of coaching, not the kids or the refs. The refs can be tough sometimes, but it's the parents. No, I get no flack or negative comments from the parents that I'm around. I think they all know I'm here to help all kids, and I'll be on the sideline coaching my team, and I see a kid on the other side, he make a mistake, and I'll be like, hey, next time. And then the kids will be like, hey, coach our team. Don't coach them. But no, the kids, they're so excited every single day. My goal, I tell the parents every time, you don't always make the teams. Like, I was a kid that tried out for teams and I didn't make it. You know, and
what team was that?
So I tried out for the Eastern Regional team.
Okay, so this is soccer.
I was 13.
I was like, was this another sport?
I didn't make it.
Yeah,
wrestling is a sport I picked up in high school. I tried out for the varsity basketball team. My advisor was the head coach of the varsity basketball team, and he still was like, you're not ready for it. JV. So I was like, my Spanish teacher said, hey, come to the wrestling team. We have a varsity spot. I had never wrestled before. That year I was a New England champion, and I was a 3-time New England champion.
Wow.
And I was an All-American. I finished third place my senior year. Wow. And wrestling those 4 years of wrestling helped define my soccer career. I would have never been the soccer player had I not wrestled.
And that's, I have some inside info, Jones.
14.
Yeah. So I went to St. Paul's school.
Yeah.
The best high school in the country.
Yeah, brag.
Charlie went to Brooks.
Oh.
He's a couple years younger than me. And so I didn't play soccer, but I had friends that played soccer. And I remember them saying, like, there's a kid on Brooks who's not fair. He's not fair to play against. He's way better than everybody else in the league. And that was Charlie.
And by the way, yeah. I did apply to St. Paul's. They put me on the wait list. So,
listen,
it was easy for me. I was like, I'm going to Brooks School. You know?
So there's one thing you didn't get into.
Yeah, exactly.
How about that?
No, but you know, for parents, I think it's so important to know your kid is not going to be an All-American as an 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, even 14-year-old. They're not always going to be the best player on their team. And even if they are, sure enough, come 15, 16, 17, there's going to be new kids that come up. And I think it's just important to have them understand, to get the best values of being a teammate, to get the best values of understanding what work ethic is. And that's what I bring them. I instill that in them from the very moment they start playing with me.
Is it too much for some of these kids? Like, so my daughter's six, so like she's sort of getting into it. But like I have a nephew that's on like a couple of teams. It seems like his whole week is just soccer. And it feels like, I don't know, maybe shouldn't be that much.
No, for me, I make sure they understand. I want you to play as many sports as you can. That's how you really grow. Yeah. You take things and you learn things from different sports. Well, so my kids play lacrosse.
And you said it from wrestling, like your own experience, just cross-training in other sports, how that helps. So they also play lacrosse.
Yeah, they're with Lacrosse is the program. And
it's a good name.
That is a good name.
For me, I've never, I don't know if there's any lax people in here, but I've never experienced lacrosse. I learned about it in high school, but I really don't know the game. These kids are intense. These parents are intense. I'm in a whole new world, but the coaching is phenomenal. They love it. So.
I think you're very lucky that you haven't had a lot of bad parental experiences yet. You know, my son's only seven, and I have not. I've seen a lot of angry parents in my time. So Charlie Davies, former Revs striker, a Revs analyst as well.
Yes.
On the radio. Thanks for coming in, sharing your story. I know. Again, I started by saying this, but you mentioned when you've been on the telethon previously, people have reached out to you and said.
Yes.
Your story inspired him to go get a screening and catch things early. And so that's why we have people like you on. So thank you for coming out. We really do appreciate
it. Thank you.
You get to see Keith again.
Of course.
Which is always good. And a reminder, you can donate toll-free, 877-738-1234, or online, jimmyfund.org. Easiest way for a lot of people to do it, you can text KCANCER to 56512 to give any amount.
Donate. I'm telling you right now, donate.
It's a good thing.
The people, not only are you saving the children, but you're helping families. You're helping these doctors do incredible things. I can tell you firsthand, they are just wonderful people. You go into Dana-Farber, everyone's smiling, and you're like, what's going on? And they make you feel comfortable. So please donate. Even if it's a dollar, whatever you can, just give, because it really makes a difference.
Well, and the tote board was updating behind you. We're up over 370,000 now as well. But certainly a great message there from Charlie Davies. When we come back, as day one of the telethon rolls on here on WEEI live from Fenway Park, we'll check in with Angel and Dr. Bellamont. That's next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.